series that we're doing on circles. And when we're talking about circles, we're talking about managing your relationships. I go back to the John Osteen quote that said, "They built a box to keep me out, but love had the wit to win. It drew a circle that let me in." And we, in our lives, we either construct boxes to keep people or God out, or we build circles to include people in our lives. And God has called us not to be a box-building people, but to be people of circles. And the only way that you can learn to manage your life is by setting priorities in your life. And what we're talking about in circles is learning to manage your relationship, assigning priorities to your relationships. Because if you don't, life is chaotic today. Have you noticed that we're busy, that there's things happening, there's work, there's raising kids, there's all of the, you know, things with school, things with family, things, just things all the time. And if you're not careful, you get caught up in the madhouse rush of living life, and you look 2 or 3 years down the road and everything just out of balance in your life. And I want to see us bring balance to our life. And in order to do that, we have to learn to live life on purpose. On purpose. Everybody say purpose. We have to learn to live life on purpose. And see, here's the thing about your spiritual life. You're either green and growing or ripe and rotting. You're either green and growing or ripe and rotting. I looked at my life. Go ahead. Hey, guys, go ahead and hand those things out. We're handing out some handouts today that has some challenges for the week. How many of you, should I ask this question? How many of you used the handout last week? Anybody? Oh my, that's terrible. Not one person raised their hand. Should I do my shame on you? Here's the challenge. I've got a scripture on there this week that is a prayer. And I've got some instructions. I've got 4 things I want you to do this week. See, I'm trying to get us out of our ruts and into a more of a growing relationship with God. Can I have one of those? And there are 4 things on there. Number 1 is to pray this scripture every day and then take a few quiet moments to see what God says to you about this prayer. It's not a prayer I made up. It's Psalms 139, verse 23 and 24, which says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Number 2, it asks the question, if someone were to observe your daily Monday through Saturday life, what do you think they would see that prove that you love God above all else? Then write those down. Number 3, write down what God says to you through today's message and think about it during the week. And then have a wonderful week. So I challenge you. I guess I'm going to have to triple dog dare you to start doing this. Now evidently you didn't do it last week. Go back and look at your handout. There was a scripture on there. There was a challenge on there. See, when we get too busy to spend time with God, we're too busy. Amen? I'm not scolding you. I'm just telling you. I have been in ministry for over 30 years. I have had a church for 32 years consistently. I have served God during that time. But I had to come to a place in my life where I realized that I was not green and growing. I was ripe and rotting. I was resting on my accomplishments. I was resting on what I knew. And God began to stir my heart up. And I am coming back and I'm examining my heart. And I'm allowing God to speak into my life again. Because I want to fulfill the purpose that God has for me as a human being. And every one of us has purpose. And you know, there's a whole lot of people who are born, live their lives, and die and never fulfill their purpose. And many others realize what their purpose are, but they come so short in the fulfillment of their purpose. And there's reasons that those things happened. And sometimes it has to do with the priorities that we set in our lives, that we don't manage properly the circles that we have in our lives. Go with me today to Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. This is our foundation text that we're using, and especially with this inner circle. What we have been talking about the last couple of weeks is learning to live life out of the core. There is a core circle in our life. Every one of us have a core. Every one of us have an inner man. And there is something in your core that is your driving force for your life. It could be you. It could be God. It could be another person. It could be a pursuit. It could be your possessions. It could be making money or something like that. But what is it that drives your heart? What is it is in the core of your heart that drives you? Proverbs 4:23 says, "Above all that you guard, guard your heart, for out of it is the wellspring of life." We live our lives out of our inner being. What's in your inner being? Well, I'm saved. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking to Christians today. I know you're saved. But what is it that's driving your life? Is it God or is it fear? Is it God or is it pride? Is it God or is it selfishness? There's so many things that can get in our hearts and become the driving force of our life, and we're saved. How many of you know that God has much more for you than just being saved? He wants to be the driving force in your life. He put purpose in your heart, and He wants to fulfill that purpose in your life. But in order to do that, He could have designed you like a robot, but He chose not to do that. He chose to give you a choice. And in choosing to give you a choice, He limited Himself in your life. And unless we choose Him as the guiding principle of our life, something else will be there. You get to choose what drives your life. You get to choose what dominates your heart. Is it God or is it something else? Are you in control? Are you the one that's driving your life? Is it your flesh? Is it your relationship with God? I want to learn to live out of my relationship with God. Because I do know this, that if I can have a good relationship with God, a living, growing relationship with God, guess what? I am going to be a better husband. I'll be a better husband. I'll be a better father. I'll be a better grandfather. I'll be a better friend. I'll be a better pastor. I'll be a better neighbor. I will care about those who are hurting. I will care about the stranger. Most people never get out of the second tier of circles. It's God and then their family. And they don't venture far beyond that. They don't feel like, even though these are our greater priorities, sometimes we hide behind those other circles and we never get out where God's purposes can be performed in our lives. God is calling us to give ourselves to Him. Is anybody shouting anymore in the first service? You're an awesome group today. Let me hear you. So it says, above all else that you guard, guard your heart, for out of it is the wellspring of life. Why do we need to guard our hearts? Let me give you four things real quick. Write these down. Think about these things during the week. Number one, it's the seat of your character. It is the seat of your character. Character needs to come out of our relationship with God. Now, there's some things that you can do out here to change behavior. Remember the story we told about the fellow that him and his, we thought it was his wife, bought the bucket of chicken? Remember that story? And they get out on the picnic and they find out that somebody had put the receipts for the day in the chicken bucket and gave it to him by mistake. He turns around and it's like $800. I mean, wouldn't that be tempting to, you know, ooh, look what God has done, you know. So he turns around and brings the bucket back, and the manager was so surprised and so excited. He says, let me call the newspaper. Said that they need to make pictures of y'all, and this is a great story. And the guy brings him to the side and says, well, the woman I'm with is somebody else's wife. Was he a man of character? He may have had character where money was concerned, but he didn't have any character where another relationship was concerned. See, there are people who do things out here that will be one area they may be very well disciplined and have character in that area. But see, when we develop godly character, it affects the whole of our life. Faithfulness is faithfulness. You're faithful in all of your relationships. You're faithful with your relationship with God. You're faithful to your spouse. You're faithful to your children. You're faithful to your friends. You're faithful to your church. You don't cheat on your taxes. You're faithful to your government. Because faithfulness is faithfulness if it comes out of your relationship with God. Otherwise, it's only an external discipline that you've done. See, what God wants to do, He wants to do from the inside to the outside. I'm preaching better than you're shouting today. So, when you guard your heart and your relationship with God is concerned, it is the seat of your character. Number two, when you guard your heart, you multiply your influence. Listen, life is about influence. My relationship with God, first of all, does something for me. But the reason that I have a relationship with God is because He wants me to be a person of influence. I heard an amazing statistic the other day that the average person, not the exceptional person, the average person will influence 10,000 people in their lifetime. Wow. You're more influential than you thought. But what if I have a right relationship with God? What if things are flowing out of my heart? What is that going to do with my influence? It is going to multiply my influence. You know what one of the greatest complaints that people have about, and I'm talking about lost people, about Christian people? I was talking to our future county judge the other day, and he was telling me about a relationship that he had with a person who is dying of cancer. He said, this man lives a better life than most Christians, but he's not a Christian. And he says, I've tried to talk to him about Christ several times, and he will tell me, he says, why should I go to church when I see people in the bar the night before and in church the next day? What is he saying? Their character does not match their profession. And he's living probably a better life than a lot of Christians do. Guess what that kind of influence does? Is it a positive or negative? It's a negative. Out of a relationship with God, our influence should be what? Positive. You're going to influence people. You influence people every day. So above all that you guard, guard your heart. For out of it are the wellsprings of life. The third thing, it empowers us to accomplish our purpose. I cannot tell you what your purpose is. I did not design you. God designed you and He knows your purpose. Your purpose is unique to you. You are one of a kind. Look at your neighbor and say, you're one of a kind. There is none like you. There's not another human being in the world that's like you. You have a purpose. And let me tell you, outside of God, you will never discover what that purpose is. Outside of choosing a relationship with God, you will never discover what that purpose is. Then number four, it's the basis for all of our relationships. Our relationship with God becomes, if we do it right, becomes the basis of all of our other relationships. Like I said before, when you are in harmony with God, you'll be a better spouse. You'll be a better person. You'll be a better friend. You'll be a better neighbor. You'll care about people. You'll care about those who are unfortunate. We care about those Watoto children. Why do we care about them? Because they cannot help themselves. And if the church doesn't care, who's going to care? That has to come out of our relationship with God. Now, last week, we talked about living beyond the commandment. Let me encourage you, if you were not here last week, go back to the website. The message is on the website. If you don't have a computer, let us know. We'll get you a CD. We'll give it to you. But we talked about living beyond the commandment. And that is learning to live loved. Knowing that God loves me unconditionally. If we do not get a hold of this, none of this other stuff will work like it should. There are too many Christians who live, he loves me, he loves me not. He loves me, he loves me not. He loves me, I did good, he loves me. I did bad, he doesn't love me. That's not the way God's love is. I don't have time to preach that again. Go back to the website. Listen to that. But if we do not get that, it doesn't matter how much you love God, it won't be for the right reason. See, it's not that we love God. We looked at the scripture in 1 John last week. It's not that we love God first. It's that He loved us and gave His Son to die for us. God demonstrated His love toward us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He died for us. He loved us. We didn't love Him. We hated Him. We have cursed Him. We have lived lives that have gone away from God. We have broken every commandment that God has and everything that God holds sacred. We have violated. But you know what? He loved us anyway. I don't understand that love. I have meditated on the lyrics of that song. Why should I gain from His reward? I cannot give an answer. But this I know with all my heart. His wounds have paid my ransom. I don't understand why God would love me. I really don't understand why He would love you. I don't understand why God loves us. But He does. And if we don't get that right, if we don't understand that right, you will never fulfill your purpose in life because you will live condemned your whole life. God does not want you to live condemned. Now, God limits Himself in our lives because He does not make us love Him. And this is what we're talking about today in this inner circle. We're still talking about the core, developing the core. And the first part of that is learning to live love. The second part of that is choosing to love God. Loving God is a choice. I mean, have we not learned as Christians or as human beings that love is more than a feeling? Do you always feel love for your children? I mean, isn't there times that you would just love to pinch their little cotton-picking heads off? Now don't anybody shout. Do you always feel love for your spouse? Isn't there times that you think, I don't know if I love this person. I don't feel love. Love's not a feeling. This is why we're goofed up in our society. Look at what the media, the movies and the romance novels and all of those kind of things portrays love as this feeling in the fairy tales. And, you know, they met and they lived happily ever after. Life don't come down that way. Love is something that you have to choose. Kathy has to choose to love me sometimes because I'm not always lovely. I could have said it the other way, but I'm smarter than that most of the time. No, you don't always feel love. But you love because you choose to love. And we have to choose to love God. And you're not always going to feel like God loves you. And you're not always going to feel like you love God. But it's a choice that we make. It's a choice that we make. And sometimes we just have to guard our hearts in that area. We've been talking about the law of capacity. And the law of capacity says this, that you can only receive from God in direct correlation to your capacity to receive. And we are the only creature that God made that can increase capacity. A dog, his DNA, he will always be a dog. A cat will always be a cat. He cannot change that. Human beings, because God gave us the ability to choose, we can think and we can reason and we can feel and we can do all of these. We have a cognitive part of us. We're the thing most like God. And He gave us the ability to choose. And guess what? We live within the bounds of those choices that we make. And God honors our ability to choose. And He doesn't interfere with it. You can choose God and be blessed. Or you can choose God in a limited fashion. And He'll bless you to the level that He can. But your choices will be the limits of your life. If we want to change our capacity to receive from God, we're going to have to change the capacity of our heart. We're going to have to learn some things. We're going to have to make some choices. We're going to have to choose some different things. You can choose to allow the elements of this earth to control you, or listen, you can change your heart and you can rise above the elements of this world. Amen. Glory. Let me tell you a little story. This is a cricket story. They took some crickets and they put them in a jar. And they set it down and the crickets jump out. So they catch the crickets, they put them back in the jar, they set the jar down, and the crickets jump out. So they catch the crickets and they put them back in the jar and they put a lid on top of the jar. The crickets jump up and hit their heads on the top of the lid. They keep doing that and they keep doing that, and finally, they quit doing it. And they don't even try anymore. And eventually they take the lid off and the crickets never jump out again. Sometimes our lives are that way. We get conditioned by our surroundings. We hit our heads on some things sometimes and we quit trying. We settle into a lifestyle where we never try to go beyond the bounds that have been set for us by the circumstances and the bad choices of our lives. We never increase our world because we never increase our capacity to change. We have the ability to change, but experience teaches us that if we try to jump out of the jar, we're going to hit our head. We're limited by bad choices. Guess what? It doesn't have to be that way. You can change your ability to receive from God by changing the capacity of your heart. And it has to do with your core choices in your life. Number one, I have to learn to live loved. Number two, I have to choose to love God. This is what I'm trying to learn. This is the journey that I have been on for a while, choosing to love God, choosing to learn to live in His love, letting my relationship with Him drive my other relationships in my life. I want to learn to live out of a proper core. Listen, I'm tired of me controlling my life. I'm tired of my pride. I'm tired of my judgmentalism because it is a capacity decreaser in my life. When you look at people and you judge them, you limit your capacity to reach them. When we have improper teaching, we limit our capacity to fulfill our purpose. Are you out there today? Okay. 1 John 4:10. And this is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us. Mark 12:30 says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength." This is the greatest commandment. This is the greatest commandment. Let me ask you the question. What keeps us from loving God? What keeps us from loving God? I want to give you three things. Number one, fear. Fear. Not trusting His love. I see people all the time who struggle with condemnation. They're always beat up because they have more faith in their fear than they do in the fact that God loves them. Listen, that will limit your capacity. You're talking about a lid in your life. You'll never be able to jump out of the jar because that lid in your life. We got to raise our lids. You know that? We got to raise our limits. We got to learn how to do that. And fear, not trusting His love, not trusting the fact you are going to make mistakes. Let me give you a revelation. You're never in this life going to be perfect. You will make mistakes. We read the book. We did it in our life group called Failing Forward. We need to learn how to not let our failures in life define who we are. But we need to learn in the things that we fail and then go forward from there. God doesn't give up on you because you fail. He doesn't love you less because you fail. There's nothing you can do to make God love you more, and there's nothing that you can do to make God love you less. He already loves you as much as an infinite God can love a person. So fear keeps us from trusting His love. The second thing is confusion. Confusion. A lot of us were raised in, all of us were raised in imperfect environments. Some have dysfunctional upbringing. Maybe your family life was messed up. See, we've got to do something about families falling apart. We really, in the church world, we have to do something about families falling apart. Divorce is rampant in the church. And you know what that does to little kids? You know what that does to their hearts? It rips their hearts out. They don't develop the compass like they need in their lives, like God designed for it to be, because it's all messed up. And there are children today that are being raised in homes without fathers. There are children being raised in homes where there is a father, but he's never there. He's never there emotionally. And it confuses our hearts. Maybe you were raised in a dysfunctional family and you're having trouble relating to a loving God because you can't relate to a loving parent because it just wasn't there. Every one of us has what they call love tanks. And the greatest responsibility that we have as parents is to make sure that we affirm our love for our children. And we struggle sometimes with the love of God because we've struggled with the love of our parents. And we've never matured emotionally in that area of our life. Wow. That's deep. Number three. We're going to love this one called pride. Everybody say pride. Pride. I wonder how many of us have been guilty of pride. Let me tell you, 100%. We've all had issues, pride, because we want to do it our way. I know the Bible says that, but, yep, pride. Pride. Proverbs 16:18 says, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. What is pride? It's a haughty spirit. Oh. Bible or no Bible? We may not even say that. I know the Bible says that, but I ignore it. I've got a better ideal anyway. We don't say that, but that's what we do. And we might as well be saying that. Pride will lead you into rebellion. And you'll struggle with your relationship with God. You'll struggle with loving God. Why does God demand us to love Him? Is it pride? No. God doesn't have pride. Who benefits from us loving God? We do. And everybody else that we're in relationship with. And even people that we're not in relationship with will benefit from us choosing to love God. So why does He demand that we love Him? Number one, because this is how He loved us. And that's by giving all. See, the commandment says you shall love God how? With all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. What is that? That spirit, soul, and body. Now, a lot of people give mental assent that they love God, but you never see any evidence. That's why that question is in there for you to consider this week. What would the people who know you, what would they say is the proof that you put God first in your life? I want you to write it down. I want you to see if you can come up with a list of things in your life that you believe people would say about you that is proof that you put God first in your life. Otherwise, all we're doing is giving lip service to it. And let me tell you, just going to church doesn't prove that you love God first. A lot of folks go to church for lots of different reasons. See, it's not what you do here. This is important, us coming together and worshiping like we do and having the freedom and hearing the Word. But it's more important what you do when you walk out the doors. See, when you leave the building today, the church is gone. This is not it. Everybody with me today? Number two, it sets the pattern for our life. And that pattern is giving without limits. Why does God demand that we love Him? It becomes the pattern for our life. Because the second commandment is what? You shall love your neighbor as yourself. See, when you learn to love God like you should, you're going to love yourself better. You're going to like you a whole lot better when you get in right relationship with God. See, what happens when you get out there and you just mess up big time? How do you feel about yourself? Don't you just feel pretty yucky? If you don't, come up here this morning and we'll get you saved. If you don't feel bad about wrongdoing, then something's wrong. When we mess up, we feel bad. We should feel bad. When we are in a relationship with God, a loving, forgiving relationship with God, it is going to set the pattern with the way that we treat other people. Okay? Oh, shut up. Number three. Why does God command us to love Him? Because you cannot give what you have never experienced. If you have not received His love, if you have not returned that love to Him, you can never give to someone else what you have never experienced. Think about it. Think about it. Can we live in the love of God? Yes. What does the love of God look like? What does it look like? I got five more minutes, then we're going to pray. Deuteronomy 5:8. I'm going to give you some thoughts here. Deuteronomy 5:8. You shall not make for yourselves any idol in the form of anything in heaven above or earth beneath, or in the waters below. We're going to look at the first three of the Ten Commandments, because this has to do with how we're to treat God. See, loving God is not what you decide it is. Loving God is what He decides that it is. It's not lip service. You know what He says? He says, I don't want you to put any other God before Me. I demand to be first in your life. Don't create any idols or images. We're thinking about carving out little deities that we bow down to. No, we have all kinds of deities that we make in our lives. It's what we set up is the center of our heart. What we really worship from the inside. The things that we deem to be the most important things in our life. Not what we call them, but what they actually are. It could be your marriage. Your marriage could be an idol. Your spouse does not deserve to be the core of your heart. God does. And I see people making decisions about spouses because they have made them the center of their life, and they make everything else in their life revolve around that relationship, and it's dysfunctional. That's good advice, but we'll move along. He says, no other gods before me. You've got to put me first. I've got to be the center. Now, who benefits from that? You do. Listen, you cannot see the future. You cannot see in other people's hearts. There are lots of things that you don't know that God knows. And He says, if you'll put me first, I'll order your steps. The steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. But your pride says, you know what? I had somebody say to me, I love them and I'm going to marry them. And it was a chaos. Well, you can choose to do that, but you know what you do? You limit your capacity to prosper. You limit your capacity for your purpose to be fulfilled in life. One of these days we'll all stand before God and He's going to talk to us about the stewardship of the things that He put in our lives. Because we're supposed to take the things in our lives and offer them back to God and let Him fulfill them through us. And when we refuse to do that because of our pride or because of the idols that we have put in our lives, guess what? He cannot do in us what He wants to do because He has chosen to limit Himself to our choices in our life. You can live and die and never fulfill your purpose. It'd be a sad thing. The second thing there is verse 9. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am jealous, punishing the children for the sins of the fathers to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me. See, the next thing is that you don't bow down. It's your body. It's the deeds of your life. What does the love of God look like? It comes out in our actions. First of all, it has to do with your heart. No other gods before Him. He has to be the core. But it's not just cheap talk. It has to do with action. He says, don't bow down to other things. You bow down to me. Present your bodies to God, a living sacrifice. Romans 12, 1 and 2. A living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. He wants your service. He wants to perform through you. God wants to live through you and fulfill the purposes. And verse 11 says this, you must not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses His name. In other words, your words or your thoughts, what we say about God, how we represent Him, in our language. So loving God, looking and loving God looks like that nothing else is first in our life. Number two, it's our body. We don't bow down to other things. We submit ourselves to Him because we love Him. And third is that our words will follow our heart. We'll not misuse the name of the Lord our God. And then here's the most important thing, I think. Because this has to do with your attitude. 1 John 5:3. This is the love for God, to obey His commands, and His commands are not burdensome. Listen, when you're living in harmony with God, you don't get bummed out by obeying God. Well, dadgummit, I got to go to church. I tell you what, I just get tired of going to church. Uh-oh, we need a heart check. We need a heart check. Check, check, check. Well, I know I'm supposed to give, but man, I don't know if I like the way that church spends my money. Heart check. Check, check, check. Obeying God is not a burden. You don't get frustrated with obeying God because you're doing it because you choose to love God. Okay. Let me close with this. Joe's getting ready to come. We're going to pray. We're going to have prayer time. This is Psalm 63. Here's a picture of a person who really loves God. David was called a man after God's own heart. Oh God, You are my God. Early will I seek You. My soul thirsts for You. Let me ask you a question. When is the last time that you were really thirsty for God? When was the last time that you really thirsted after God and your duty to God wasn't out of obligation? It was just because you were hungry for it. Like it was when you first got saved. How many of you know that the goodness of God should be new every morning? I mean, His mercies never come to an end. They're new every morning. We're the ones that get stale. Not Him. My soul thirsts for You. My flesh longs for You in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. So I have looked for You in the sanctuary to see Your power and Your glory, because Your loving kindness is better than life. Anything that life could give me, Lord, Your loving kindness is better than that. My lips shall praise You, because You have been my help. Therefore, in the shadow of Your wings I will rejoice. My soul follows close behind You. Your right hand upholds me. That is a picture of a man who was in love with God. Now that don't just happen. Those are the things that we have to choose to do. Learning to live in this relationship with God that will produce the kind of life that we're talking about. It's the inner circle. It's the inner core. It's your spirit man that you have to guard. And you have to make that relationship the greatest priority in your life if it's going to work right. Let's pray real quick. Father, in Jesus' name, thank You for speaking to lives and into hearts today. I want our prayer team to come. And Lord God, minister to Your people right now as they respond to Your love and Your grace. We thank You and we praise You that You're drawing us into a closer fellowship and a closer relationship with You. We thank You in Jesus' name. Joe, come.